Session number 12716, Mr. Jay Coughlin, Reel 16.
Mr. J. Coughlin, Reel 16. The training that you were getting in England prior to D-Day, Mr. Coughlin, was it good preparation for fighting in France afterwards?
Naturally it was, because they would, we had better, as I said before, we had better equipment. And, well, there again, we had a lot of fit young lads and all joined the regiment and all, like, you know, after all, we'll come back with reinforcements, all kinds of, you know, lads and they were all fit lads, had been done a lot of training in England, where they were better trained for, you will see, we were trained then for street fighting. We'd see up the desert, we never did any street fighting, which, and when you get in such as the continent, it was a lot of street fighting, so therefore we were to put more small arms, a lot of small arms for, in street fighting, and we were used to the following the tanks and all, you know, you would never be used to that.
Was there a system of fighting in streets that you had to follow?
Well, definitely for snipers, see, for snipers. A sniper can't hide, can he? He couldn't, there's nowhere to hide for a sniper, but in there, you have to get all over in lofts, and then, so you had to be wary of when you're passing a window. There might have been a sniper in there, you see, them, so they automatically, when you were street fighting, you know, the street fighting, you had to put your stand, put your hand around the window and just, with your stand going or whatever, you tell me, just wrap it around, you know.
Spray fire in the room.
Spray all round inside the room. If you think there was anybody there. Because, see, in street fight, they can hide in their corners and all over, see? They can just burn at you, they can do anything with you. If you're not on your toes. Because when they're fighting a rear guard, actually, they always leave these obstacles behind as any enemy, don't they? Like, you know, for the main troops to get, to get consolidated, they make off, leave obstacles for you so they can consolidate, fall back ready to meet you, like, you know.
Did you practice a kind of fire and movement where one was ahead and would move, then stop and cover the other one moving past?
We had to do, yeah. Well, one used to run for it, you know, and you might see a sniper up there. Well, we had to lay a bait for him. If we saw him in the towers or anything like that, you had to lay a bait for him, just run for him, and just as he popped his house, well, we were at him then, you know what I mean? You had to be very wary of snipers, because in straight fighting, like I say, you don't know what houses they hide, and there's every way you can hide. And just bang and run away and get ridden somewhere else, run away, like, you know, because when we advance and, like, we weren't there, we're defending, we won't. When you're defending, you're desperate, aren't you? Well, I should imagine so, you know, well, I know so anyhow, so you just shoot at anything you see. And we did, all such as that, we don't have, you know, everything we'd never done before. Well, up the day it was all just run and fall on you. Well, like as I said before, a different train to the desert, absolutely. Well, like anything else, if we went in the jungle, we'd have to train jungle warfare, wouldn't we? Just the same, we had to learn how to safeguard ourselves anyhow in street fighting, and how to move forward and how to move in an orderly way, you know what I mean? And same as well, we'd never been used to crossing bridges.
Had you got desert experience out of your system by the time you invaded France?
Well, you're still an old soldier, you're still wary, aren't you? Like, you know, the shells still see the same when they're coming over, they still make the same whistle and they still make the same noise, you know. But there again, you had more protection in a house, if you get in the cellars or whether the shell was shelling in a town or a village, haven't you? Well, out, as I said, it's a long way different to desert warfare, and it's a long way different to jungle warfare. A different type of fighting altogether.
Did you find the young men that were coming to you that had been trained in England and hadn't yet fought, did they have a different approach to you veterans?
Well, naturally, yes. What they used to do was to try and split them up, like, you know, the old gang to take new recruits in, like, well, you used to help them, naturally, you had to do, hadn't you, like, because you had to rely on them, and it was to rely on you. They had to still rely on them, even the recruits, anything. If you're in trouble, hadn't you? You had to have somebody you're backing, haven't you? so therefore, we had no trouble with them anyhow. I don't think we had. A lot of them was very nervous. Naturally, everybody's nervous when they don't tell me anybody that isn't frightened anyhow that goes into action.
Did you find that they were more exuberant, that they took risks that you, by experience, wouldn't take?
Well, naturally, because see, the nerves were more tense than ours. We're being used to a lot of action. It's marvellous. The more action you get, the more smoother your nerves get. You aren't as tension because you know what's going to happen, or you have like a sixth sense. You know what I mean. You see, I'm not going to cross that corner. I'll just work around with a young lad, just straight out. You understand what I mean? And never thinking like we know about battle experience, which is there's lots of young lads gets killed like that, it's innocent like and all that way. Till you learn yourself, you have to learn yourself. Soon you see, like the people that was following up and seeing it, young lads, then they've seen what's happened. That's experience to them, isn't it? Once anything happens like that or anything, then it gives them a good experience to know what they have to do then. You don't have to go into battle once to get your experience, and you see what they're in here. It's better than going when you go in the first time. You know what you're doing. You have your wits about you, because you've experienced men being killed, you've experienced men being wounded, you've experienced men blown up, you've experienced everything. See, so you're on your toes. You're more on your toes as you would have been. You aren't a rookie then once you've been in here. Like, let's be honest, you aren't a rookie. That's
so they spread these inexperienced men throughout the unit.
Well, they have to do, haven't you?
And then
you can't put them all in once. Like, you know. It's him with an officer, and you come, you generally put them, you know, with a few experienced officers, like, you know, to give them a bit of boost, don't you, like, a bit of confidence.
Did you get new officers?
Oh, got a lot of new officers. A lot I didn't know. Went or got killed, or, you know what I mean? Because, say, we were in force before the action, or something like that. Well, they went in action, we never seen them again. Some were took prisoners, some were killed, some were wounded, some were. I never got to know a lot of them. Same as you never got to know a lot of the men. In other companies, I would know, you know, and some of the companies, you just get to know when you got back to base, you get to know. You wouldn't get to know them in action if you went straight to an action.
So a new officer, inexperienced officer, would have the same problems as a new
ranker? Definitely. He'd be shaking. Everybody shakes. it's a terrible experience, anyhow. His nerves, as you know, you're selling it.
Were you training with any other units, tanks, for example?
Well, we never do. Up in the day, we never followed tanks before. But see, on the continent, when we went to everything, your tanks were always in. You see, your tanks were in front, but they always went get away past you. The tanks, you had to mop up infantry. It was the tanks and the artillery that were doing all the damage. The infantry more or less coming behind, following the tanks behind and mopping up. Which it happens in all kind of warfare, where the tanks are. They don't stop. They get followed to smash away through a corridor through, don't you, to get through. And we were all more or less mopping up, unless in the towns, in the village, unless we bumped like we did at Villas there, when we were held up there, where they were dug in waiting, it was like, until we broke out. But after that, the tanks keep them on the move. They don't let them, you know, let the troops. Well, don't let them have a breathe if they can help it. To keep them, they get a corridor through, so we can leave. They don't bother about pockets of troops, the tanks, they're away and things. So we take care of them. They leave us to take care of all them things. Because they all, well, they've lost contact to the main headquarters and everything, these pockets of resistance, haven't they? So we're just more or less, they're not easy, mate. Some of them fire and some of them give themselves up. So we used to just throw the hands up when we come through, you know, not when you wouldn't. Just depends what they were, what regiment you were battling against. If you got the proper Nazis, well, or the Goring Division, or these SS Division, well, you know you're up against something. They didn't give in. But see, there was that many Latvians and Ukrainians drafted in and into the German army as soon as they saw us. That was it.
And was this part of your training, working with tanks in England?
Yeah. Just on the planes, you know, so we went to Salisbury plane there, just say, yes, and under artillery, advancing under artillery, with artillery firing behind us, you know, advancing under artillery.
How did you take the news that you were going to be another assault division, first to land, when you got back to England, and of course there were divisions in England that had never been out. They'd been training for, what, three, 4 years?
Well, we never got in contact very much with them. It was we were more or less with the Ireland division, like seeing them.
Did you feel in any way that you were being put on because yet again you were going to be at the front?
Well, that's what we thought we'd put on. We did one invasion and it fetched us all the way back to do another invasion. They must have thought we were good if they wouldn't have put us in. Monty wouldn't have asked for the two fighting divisions in the country at that time, weren't they? Like, you know, the 51st and the 50 div. Because we'd marched up the desert and hit them. We hit them in Sicily, so therefore we more or less demoralised them in the first place, didn't we? Like, we didn't give them any. So that's why they brought us back, because they think we were veteran soldiers, we were trained.
Were the officers telling you this?
That's the way they weren't telling us, but Montgomery come and give us a speech, like, and tell us that it was, I'm going to take you home with me, and, you know, and do all this kind of thing. We knew what we were coming back to. Oh, we knew that. We knew we were coming back for the invasion. We knew they weren't just going to pull two divisions out of Sicily, you know, just like that. We knew there was somewhere going off. And we didn't know at the time, like, but we had a, you know, the Romans get round, don't they? We knew what we were in for.
What was your morale like when you got to England? You were back home after a long time away from home.
Dear,
and now you're going to be faced with an invasion. What was the unit morale like?
Well, let's put it this way. Our morale was good because we didn't think we'd ever get back till we'd finish all our time and up in the other thing. And we're coming back home. Before we did, them that had been killed or wounded or badly wounded or badly killed up in the desert would never get back home. So we were what you call the lucky ones. We were going to see our parents and people and wives, husbands and everything, weren't we? Even though we were going to do the invasion. If we'd asked for volunteers, I think we'd have all come back. Yeah, no. Because, see, we're coming back to something, weren't we? Like, even if it was for only a month or 6 weeks, we were seeing our families for what we'd never seen for 3 years, 2 to 3 years. So we'd never seen them for 3 years, like, you know. So it was a feeling you were jumping for joy, in other words. I'll tell you something else. If we'd asked for volunteers, everyone would have. Well, I heard of people.
When your training was finished, you moved into a confined space in Nightingale Wood with the Americans protecting you, guarding you.
That's right.
What was it like there?
Well, there was plenty of entertainment, like, with nothing and anything, but when we were briefed, it wasn't. It was when you were. Before we were briefed, we were allowed out. But once we were briefed, about a week or a fortnight before, it was just playing cards, you know, because we couldn't do any training, like, or anything. It was just PT, like, of course, like, getting your weapons ready and everything, and more or less, it was just like being in jail, anyhow. Because the barbed wire around, you know, and all the Yankee sentries was walking around all the time. You weren't allowed to talk through the wire, not allowed to, wives or nothing, you want to see, before you give anything away. You weren't even allowed to talk to the sentries. They hadn't been briefed, we had. And when you're briefed, they didn't want anything to happen, you know. It's happened before, because there's always a Quizzler, whatever they call them, was round the corner listening or something, wasn't it? Walls of ears, haven't they? That's what they said, didn't they?
Did the men take kindly to this kind of thing?
Pardon?
Did the men take kindly to this being shut away?
No, naturally you didn't. Naturally, because you never saw anybody. Well, you saw anybody, you saw your mates. It's just like being in prison, that was all. Just like being in open prison, you know what I mean? Not allowed out. Well, there's no atmosphere, is there, if you don't allow out to mix with people? You see them every day, it's the same routine it was. Well, only in about a week or 10 days, mind, but...
You said you were briefed. What were they telling you in that week?
Well, what was it, the invasion was, what the, you know, what the code name was and everything. And they should come round and the officer, you know, showed us the map and everything, where we were going in at, and what we had to take, you know, the first night and everything, you know, more or less, and the date and the time. So therefore, it's better if you know what you're doing, isn't it? Because if you know what you're doing, you can be prepared then. If you don't know what you're doing, you don't know which way to run or which way to go. So when you're briefed, you have an idea what you're doing, so it's up to you then, isn't it? It's no good keeping you in the dark. I used to like to be briefed, or tell them if we're going into like anything else, if I was going, I'd like to be brave to see what I was doing. If I was going into get a machine gun nest out, we knew what we're doing. If we're just going in the dark, well, you don't know what you're doing, I'll haul us. Oh, they told us and explained to us, like, we forced him to be casualties, which we knew. Everybody knew. Was it going to be me? Is it going to be him? Is he going to, you know, the man next to him, I got to see you, is he? You know.
Was photographs part of this briefing? Did you see photographs and models?
Models, yes, he showed us the models and everything, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, we're on lectures every day, you know, medical lectures and all, and language lectures and one thing and another, you know, of the ways and of people of the countries we're going into, you know, all the reactions, you know. They'd get to tell us how we should go on with them and what we should do, like, you know. That's what it was all about, all lectures.
Did they tell you the kind of support you would get from the other arms, Air Force, Navy?
Yes, they had to leave all. Well, they more or less tell you what the battle force was, you know, the battle plan was. But as soon as they dropped the LCTs, what we had to do, get and consolidate, well, the Navy was bombarding us, like, well, the Navy, as I told you before, they used to always take the Navy observers out with us when they went in there, phone them back at the ship, the battleship, for the targets, you know, for the gun, for the support, that stuff. Oh, the Navy went with us. The Navy would go five or six of them. And they were falling back to all the, I don't know what battleships there was, like, you know, the gun fired and, like, you know, man to man, they're like a crater when they land and all. I would like to go and fire a battleship gun for, ooh, they did now. What a noise they used to make. And you could see, you know, when you landed on the shore, and you'd see, they'll see the flashes of the, somebody's getting so hungry, you to say, like, or something used to be coming out as. You could either weigh to them, you know, the feel they're different to a 25-pound shell or a heavy gun shell, you know. And when they landed, what an kicks of the metal craters as big as the house, they.
When the time came that you're in Nightingale Wood and you're now moving out to Southampton, how did you feel when that moment came?
Well, we're under guard then, you know, sad guards, and then we went down to the ship, like, then you go out on the, like, a boat, we went out on the boat, like, and then we were put into LCTs, see. Ready for things. Some of the transport was already on the LCTs, ready for going off, do you see? We all went, only went as the LCTs with the transport and everything was ready. You went out the boat and then got onto the LCTs and you're ready for off with your wagons and everything, you know.
You were with the transport?
No, I wasn't with the company, yes. But soon as I had to wait, soon as the LCTs and the troops went on the thing, I had to come down deep and away straight in it.
So you were with other vehicles?
Oh, with the first time, aye.
And who were you still driving for at this time? Who were you driving with?
Kirby, sir, Kirby. Yeah.
You're back with Kirby?
Yes, I was back with Kirby. No, I wasn't driving. Fails, Major, Fails, he'd gone. Fails.
What was his command? What?
HQ command. They were in charge of the anti-tank, the mortars, and everything, you know what I mean? He was more of the rifle company, he was there. We were like that, the anti-tank guns, the mortars, and anything, you know.
Do you recall what you'd been told to do when you hit the beach?
Actually, we had an objective to get so far in, then till the next wave of troops come over in, and we had to keep them to make way so they could come over top. Then you keep going like that, and then going forward like that. The others coming over, and you're going forward again, you know, when they've consolidated. See, because they have to stop. To get reinforced, and we're not more or less reinforced, to get ammunition and count what strength they've got, you know, for going for it again. So we're going for it with about five men when you need 30 men, is it? Like, you know what I mean?
What are your memories of that journey across?
Well, it was bloody dark, like midnight, about midnight. I can't remember anything, like, we're all chatting, and as soon as we got, think we weren't allowed to smoke or anything like that, you know what I mean? Because it shines up in the dark. And it was about dawn when we, you know, when we just coming dusk when we landed. We were going to the LCTs. You didn't go out in the LCTs when you went out in the boat. See, the big boat and just went down the thing into the LCTs. That was the LCTs. They're all waiting for you. They're all there waiting for you.
Were you delayed?
No, there was no delay. Not delay that night. We didn't do so bad on the beaches as the Yankees did. The Yankees hit it more than us. They hit it very bad. We lost one at all, but not as much as their heavy artillery as they'd bumped and shell fire and machine gun fire.
Do you recall the scene on the beach when you landed?
Pardon?
Do you recall the scene on the beach when
Oh, they were all in the sea, up with the sun, along this summer track Felton for transport to come on. See, your tanks go down first, more or less, like, you know, because they can make the tank for the minefield, the tank, you know, and the engineers to get your minefields, you know. Then you, well, you're in for and all, like, protecting them, like, and then they try and get the, so they can unload the wagons and get the transport off quick as they can, like, they say. Because instead of burying in the sand, they lay this, like I was saying, they've knit together steel, summer track felt, they used to call it, track felting. They're all there was along the beach, all the way along the beach to get the wagons off. All right for the tanks, but not for the weather to sit, you know, with the weight of them, with the ammunition and one thing or another. Even with all the four-wheel drive, they still went down the soft water, you know. Well, that's why they had these big dozers there. No, they had big dozers there to pull you off, you know, to pull you up. They were still shelters, like, naturally, of course, like, but see, you've got to work on the shelf fight to get them off and all. You can't just stand there, can you?
That's did you see any signs of what had happened to those that had gone on ahead of you?
I didn't. Until we were getting about 2 or 3 miles in, then we met up with the mate, you know. Then we got stopped a bit, you know. So we got up, went pretty in pretty far, like, then we got, 5 or 6 miles out, would you imagine, sir? No, until we got up to the village there, whatever it was, up to Carnway. We worked our way there within about a fortnight, weren't we? Within there about a fortnight. We worked our way up within about a week or a fortnight, you know, up to there, well, into France, into Normandy. Oh, we didn't meet, I tell you, I said, we didn't meet the opposition, like, we had met opposition, naturally, but not as ever we met tanks, like, and everything, but there again, with a tank in a street fight, you have a chance. You get behind a building, Molotov or something like that, you can drop it out the window and you see on the tanks, see? Well, that's I was happy with the street fighting. I was. I was better than the desert. I was thinking, I have a chance here. It's me or him.
So, driving your officer, what kind of duties were you performing in this advance?
Well,
your officer?
Well, you had to go with the officer. Well, he used to take it in front, he was to lead the convoy. And, you know, follow up all the time, lead the convoy. Didn't matter where he went, if a town or a village, he went in first. We went in first. And just, you know...
So was the officer, yourself, did you have anyone else?
A runner sometimes, or sometimes the man in the wireless, you know, the wireless in the back with a bloke. For companies, wireless, and companies and that. Oh, I got to go forward leg and go so far, and they would be following you up, naturally. But the company commander is supposed to go in first.
And which field was all right in this respect?
Definitely, yes, advanced forwards, yes, advanced subs. Well, you have your patrols forward and all, like, you have your bloody patrols forward, like, 4 or 5 men sections, haven't you? Telling you if there's any resistance with a man on it, ringing back and telling you the bump resistance so far up and get some reinforcements up here to move them or something like that, or get some heavy shell fire up to move them, or get whatever it needs to get a tank around here and get it to blast them out. Well, I'll tell you, I like street fighting. I don't know. Don't say I was enjoying it, but I always thought I stood more chance than I've ever done all the time I was up the desert.
Do you recall any particular actions in those early days?
Well, the only time where the action was when we went through at Carn there, when we rocked through.
As you said, Verrières on the
Verrières, that's right. Well, because we, more or less when we first landed, it was going for it all the time. We hardly stopped, you know, by lagging up at night, like, naturally. But we kept moving, see. Once the tanks get through, we've got to keep moving with the tanks. Don't let them seal the gap. Do you understand what I mean? To seal us off there, so to get supplies up to them. We had to get through to get supplies to everybody, you know. Supply route, that'd be a supply route of everything, didn't it? And you and the infantry was the people to keep it open. Stop him from closing the gap, and that's where it's to be on the tours.
Do you recall the attack at Verrières on the ridge?
Yes, I remember it very well. We went in that night, I think it was that night, and it was right, as it happened, the corn was just coming up, I think it'd be about just July or something like that, and I remember all this, the jury was waiting, it was with the machine gun fire, and well, they started shelling us, like, naturally, and we were going for it, like, And the companies, I heard one of them say that well, the company, the T company's getting a bad bash, and A company's not doing so well, you know, right over the blower. So, you know, we just said, oh dear me, looks like we're going to get knocked back here, like, you know, everybody says, oh, what's this next? So, like, when daybreak come, like, we had to recover, like, you know, we stopped where we were and find out how many men, when they start looking around to see, well, nearly a lot of them had gone. A lot of the lads had been, walked right into it. No cover in a cornfield. No cover. It was right in the open when we attacked. It was like, I'll tell you what it was like, racehorse country. You know, all open. Like in the country where all no trees and nothing, you know, like it's corn, all cornfields. That was, well, I don't know how I got through, I can't remember a lot. I remember, you know, really well jumping and diving. I don't think half of them knew where they were at till the next morning to recover, you know, to reorganise and see what was happening.
What had happened? That they advanced in lines across the towards
no,
the
no, 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 you do in certain in sections, you know, you don't do a frontal attack like you do in line, like you have to do, like, but it was, you know, with Judy was at AC, we had no machine gun. We were going up against machine gun positions. We were in a little small arms fire. Well, he was already dug in. You know, when you attack them, they already dug in. You get the more gunfire off until you knock them out. And before you knock them out, they might have knocked half of your men out, might. So that's where it comes into, because they cross fire and all from all sides of you when they got the machine gun set up. They must have had World War coming. And the 8th Battalion and the 9th Battalion, they got a very good bashing and all the same night. We lost a lot of men that night, that attack.
What was your role? Can you remember what you were doing?
Me? Yeah, wait a minute, what was I doing? I'd fallen up all the time, yes. What was I doing? Because you have to follow up and, oh, I was ammunition, went on now getting ammunition up, you know, in the front line, keeping them supplied with ammunition. And because, you know, being a truck driver, I had to get on the truck driver or the thing, just if we're held up, like, I had to go and do like anybody else, get in the line, like, you know, or same as officer, so you couldn't go for it, you had to start a fight with the men. So I was done more or less, I had our Tommy guns, Sten gun, but they weren't good against their fire, the old Spandy.
What was the morale of the battalion immediately after the battle? Because you said you lost a lot of men.
They were crying all over. Everybody was shaking their heads and he's gone, he's badly wounded. I lost about six mates there, you know. See, with the mortar shells we have to watch with when you're going in action, isolate, and they're a good little gun is a mortar, you know. Just hit me close quarters with them, you know. Me, in action in there, well, I didn't know where I was at. I'll tell you something now, I didn't know where I was at. Because I was just running here and there and everywhere, trying to keep from getting killed. Like a lot of more than was trying to do. Fortunately, others didn't make it, a lot did, but.
In battle like that, obviously you've got the noise of guns and firing. Are men shouting?
Naturally, men shouting. When a man gets wounded, he screams a bit, doesn't he? Like, or he shouts a bit. It's only natural, he's in pain. And you've got to shout orders under gunfire sometimes, so you could hear the orders, you know, get forward. What's that on your flank? What's that there? There's a machine gun. Keep down. Crawl forward. You know, all this kind of talk. Get round and get dug in or something like that. Which is only not so late, you know. Everybody's shouting. Never mind what else. Everybody's shouting.
Did any men not want to go in?
Naturally. You don't know, say, when you go in. You don't know. You know, you just look around. Where's he at, you know. It's especially in the dark, you don't know a thing, like, you know, if it's dumb daybreak, like, you know, wasn't so bad, like, you know, when you didn't even see where you're at. Well, it was more or less daybreak when it was all happening, like. And, well, I think it was a good trouncing, anyhow. And I think I don't know, come and took over from us. After we getting, after we taken our objective, we took our objective, right? We got our objective, or we got to where we wanted to be, in Cairn. We got up through the village into Cairn. As I tell you, it was all racehorse country, like all open country. No woods or anything, that I've seen any woods or anything. Cornfields, everything. Flat. See, when you're in battle, you don't, your mind is not, your mind is on the battle, eh, but you can't see everything that's going off. You don't want to know some of it that's going off anyhow. You just want to, well, you just want to get, try and get footy, just keep with them. I used to like to keep with the main troops, like, you know. I said, you don't want to get, you have a bit of a chance, like, when you're with the main, but if you drop back, like, you can't be, you see, as I said before, if a man drops back, you can't be bothered with him, it's footy you want to be, if a man drops back and another man's looking after, there's two men lost in your platoon or your section, isn't it? So you have to go, you just leave him. Even if he's wounded, you know, and the stretcher bears is coming up, even if you take prisoners, you want nothing to do with them. Get them out the road. Let them come and follow up. But, you know. Yeah.
Did you ever experience a situation where officers threatened men if they didn't go in?
No. Not that I know of. I can't remember of any. Can't remember. It might have been something to somebody at some time, but, you know, not while I've been there. It might have been other sections. Might have been until they see. Not in the